Events within this Old Testament book of Ruth center almost entirely on the season that is drawing to a close for another year within our province, namely that of the harvest season. That season has been very difficult for farmers this year. Winter holds much dread and anxiety for those involved within the farming sector as crops remain in waterlogged fields and silos lie empty of winter feed. It was the failure of a harvest in the land of Judah that caused Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons Mahlon and Chilion to move from Bethlehem to Moab in order to secure food. That move was not sanctioned or directed by God, and neither could it have been, for Moab was outside the land of promise. It was a place that was overrun by idolatry, and every desire of the flesh was catered for in such a place. God has to chasten this family to provoke them to return to Bethlehem. Three fresh burial plots in Moab containing the earthly remains of Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, along with the news that God had visited his people with bread in Bethlehem, caused Naomi and one of her daughter-in-laws to return to Bethlehem, a place that she had left 10 years previous to this. With the main breadwinners now taken in death, Naomi and Ruth became dependent on the kindness of others within Bethlehem to sustain them. Thankfully, their return to Bethlehem coincided with the beginning of barley harvest, a detail that we find at the end of the chapter number 1. So Naomi returned, and the daughter Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Encouraged by her mother-in-law to go out into the harvest fields, Ruth takes to herself the task of providing for her and her mother-in-law. Very interesting to notice that previous to this, that God had made provision for such impoverished people as he had come to establish the civil laws within the nation of Israel. Both the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the children of Israel were given very clear direction about the gathering in of the harvest. Leviticus 19, verse 9 and 10, we read, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt the gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 24, 19, "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands." You see, the Jewish farmer was forbidden to reap the corners of the field. If he had left his sheaf by mistake within the field, he wasn't allowed to go back again. He was to leave it for the widow, the stranger, and for the poor of the land. And that I see God going before Ruth, because Ruth is now benefiting from that particular law as she enters into the field surrounding Bethlehem. So much so that whenever she comes home with the bounty that she had gathered that day, Naomi asks her a very important question in verse number 19. "Where hast thou gleaned today?" Where hast thou gleaned today? It is that question that I want you to keep to the forefront of your mind as we think about Ruth's gleaning in Bethlehem's harvest fields. Ruth's gleaning in Bethlehem's harvest fields. As we consider this, I trust that God will help us to make application to all of our hearts today. As we consider Ruth's gleaning here in Bethlehem's harvest fields, I want you to consider, first of all, the place of her gleaning. The place of her gleaning. Desiring to be industrious and not wishing to be idle or dependent on the handouts from others, Ruth seeks permission from her mother-in-law, Naomi, to go to the field and to glean ears of corn, verse number 2 of chapter number 2. That request is granted and consented to, and so we read in that particular verse, the verse number 3, "She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was light upon a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Providence guided Ruth's feet that day. She would come to learn by the close of that day certain truths from God's word. She would learn the truth that the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. She would come to learn by the close of that day, when you lean not on to your own understanding, but in all your ways you acknowledge God, then He will direct your paths. She would learn by the close of that day that though a man's heart deviseth his ways, the Lord directeth his steps. She would learn the truth that the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing of it is of the Lord. Some would have called it luck, others chance, another fate. But Ruth, finding herself gleaning in the field of one who was a near relative to her now dead father-in-law, Ruth was finding God's providence at work. God's providence was at work, while at the same time God's purposes are being fulfilled within her life. Christian, you'll find that to be the case when you walk with your God. You'll see that God will direct your feet. God will see fit to direct your feet to that needy soul, to that hurting saint, when you commit your ways and whenever you commit your days unto the Lord. You'll find that nothing happens by chance, but all is directed by the sovereign and providential counsel of an all-wise and an all-knowing God. God will direct your paths when you find yourself in the place of Judah. Number of things that we want to say about this place of gleaning. In the first place, I want you to notice that it was a place of grace. It was a place of grace. Ruth says as much when she first speaks about going out into the harvest field to glean and to gather in part of the harvest. Notice her words to Naomi in the verse number 2. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Grace was certainly found in the place of gleaning. I know that to be the case because of Ruth's words to Boaz. And further on down the chapter, cast your eye down to the verse number 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? The place of gleaning, the place of harvest, was a place of grace. What is grace? Well, can I say that grace is the antithesis, the complete opposite of personal merit that is accomplished by our own works. Grace is the free, undeserved goodness and favor of God to mankind, according to Matthew Henry. Grace is the undeserved favor bestowed upon those who are positively deserving the wrath of God, according to Dr. Alan Cairns. Grace is love exercised towards the unworthy, according to the theologian Charles Hodge. You see, on a human level, Ruth found grace in the eyes of this man, Boaz, and that is what she needed to find, because she was a Moabite. And Moabites were banded, were refused by God to enter into the congregation of Israel. She was a stranger. She was an outcast. The law had cast her out. Therefore, she needed to find grace in the eyes of this man, Boaz. On the spiritual level, we who are enemies of God by nature, we who are strangers, we who are outcasts because of our sin and the violation of God's law, we in of ourselves, we need to find grace. Grace in Christ. Let me ask you, have you found grace in God's sight? You who are positively deserving the wrath of God because of your violations of God's law, has God by His grace saved you from sin and bestowed upon you His free and undeserved goodness and favor? Oh, let me say, if Ruth's emptiness, if this young girl's poverty was going to be satisfied, she knew that it would be on the grounds of grace. Her emptiness, her poverty, was going to be changed just on the grounds of grace extended by another. Aye, and sinner, it is no different for us. your emptiness, your poverty, because of sin, will only be replaced by God's fullness and his riches on the grounds of God's free, undeserved, sovereign, matchless, amazing grace. This was a place of grace where she found herself to be leaning. Let me say today that God, by his providence, has directed your feet to this preaching house today, just as God providentially directed the feet of Ruth into the field of Boaz. So God, by his grace, has providentially brought you to this preaching house today in all of your spiritual need. Oh, that today you would find what Ruth found whenever she found herself in the field of Boaz. That tonight you would find, or today in this place, that you would find grace, saving grace. And thank God, keeping grace. And so it was a place of grace. The second place, the place where Ruth gleaned, was a place of safety. The owner of the field comes to survey the gathering in of the harvest, and as he does so, as he gazes upon the reapers, his eye falls upon one girl, Ruth. I want you to notice that he saw her first. He took knowledge of her first. He set his love upon her first. So it is in the gospel. God sees me first. God sees you first. God takes knowledge of you first. God sets his love upon you first. Well, questions are asked, replies are given, and Ruth is brought into the presence of Boaz. Boaz encourages the Moabites not to glean in another field, but to stick close, stay fast by his maidens, making her aware that he has given a charge to those young men with all the passions that they have of a young man. He charges them not to touch her. You see, safety was promised to Ruth as long as she stayed in the field of Boaz. Well, what safety there is in Jesus Christ. When the sinner finds grace in God's sight, they're brought under the protection, the guardianship of God. No safer place can any individual be but to be in Christ. A statement that Paul uses throughout his epistle letters. To be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What a safe place. To be under his care, under his watch, under his guardianship. Listen to these words of the Savior, John 10. You'll know them well. Verses 28 and 29. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, whenever you're in God's field, whenever you're gathering in his harvest, there's no safer place. Can I ask you, are you safe in Christ today? Have you come as Ruth came, to trust in the Lord God? If you have, let me say that safety from harm and danger is promised to those who stay close to the heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, fear, believer, to stray from such a place. Let none who profess to know Jesus Christ be found living at a distance from the Savior, because such is a place of danger, such is a place of peril, such is a place of jeopardy. To walk away, to be away from your heavenly Boaz, your kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live at a distance, to be called towards him. Oh, the dangers, oh, the jeopardy that you're in. Place of grace, a place of safety, and the third place, a place of provision. That's where she gleaned, a place where there was provision. Boaz made sure that the one upon whom he had set his grace and love upon was sufficiently provided for. Note his words in the verse number 10. When thou art athirst, note it, look at it. When thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which you young men have drawn. Then notice verse 14. At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and drip the morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched corn and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Now under the care of Boaz, Ruth found all that her needs were fully provided for. Listen, out of his wealth, and out of his riches, Ruth found ample provision for all of her needs. Sinner, you'll find that to be the case. When you come under the care of Christ, you'll find that all your needs for time and for eternity will be met by him. The need of pardon and forgiveness, thank God, is met by Christ. Met by Christ's once and for all sacrifice for sins. That need of grace, that grace to meet the trials of life, thank God it's met by the all-sufficient grace of God, the God of all grace and comfort. The need for comfort in days of sickness and sorrow will be met by the God of all comfort. The need for courage to face death will be met by the one who has promised to be in the valley of the shadow of death when we pass through. As we think about the place that Ruth gleaned, the place of grace, the place of safety, the place of provision, then let me ask you this question. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where hast thou gleaned today? Sinner, is it the case that you've been gleaning in the fields of sin? Searching for purpose, peace, satisfaction, pleasure in the things of time and of sense? That last night find you standing in some nightclub or beside some public bar. Let me say, sinner, you're gleaning in the wrong field. Such places are certainly not the place of grace. Rather, those places are the place of sin and wickedness and vice. It's certainly not the place of safety. No, it's a place of danger. It's a place of destruction. It's not the place of provision. Rather, it'll bring you into poverty and into dissatisfaction. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where were you gleaning last night? You're in the wrong field. Let me ask you, backslider, is it the case that you've been gleaning in the fields of the far country? Once you gleaned in God's field, but now you're seeking satisfaction in places and in things where the true child of God will never find true lasting satisfaction. I counsel you to get back to your first love. What about you, believer? Maybe you've been gleaning in the wrong field. You've been gleaning in fields that will never bring profit to your soul. Maybe you're gleaning in the fields of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, to the detriment of your soul. Maybe you've been gleaning in the fields of the world entertainment houses, while the house of God is forsaken. Maybe you've been gleaning in the soap operas, the dramas, the reality television shows in television land that has soiled your mind and your conscience with the flagrant sins of this society. Maybe you've been gleaning in the romantic novels, the secular press, the glossy magazines of the world, while the dust gathers on your Bible. Christian, you're in the wrong field. You're in the wrong field. Where did you glean today? Before you came to God's house, where did you glean? Were you in the Bible? Were you in the Word of God? Were you before the throne of heavenly grace? Did you glean there today, brother? Sister? Where hast thou gleaned today? Not where you gleaned 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or even last week, or on Saturday. Today. Where were you gleaning? It's about time that we started to wise up. It's about time we started to get real with God. It's about time that we gave ourselves to God and to His work. We're gleaning in the wrong field, brethren and sisters. And no wonder you're impoverished. And no wonder you're disgruntled. And no wonder you're murmuring and complaining, because you have no satisfaction in Christ. You're in the wrong field. Well, where am I to glean? Well, let me say, folks, that there's acres here. There's acres here. Plenty of fields here. The field of Genesis, the field of Exodus, the field of Leviticus, the field of Deuteronomy. I'll go on. The field of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Plenty of fields here. What about the field of God's house? What about the field of the place of prayer? That'll benefit your soul. Where hast thou gleaned today? You'll find yourself, when you're found in those fields, you'll find grace. And you'll find provision for your hunger. And you'll find a place of safety. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I'm in the book. That's the place where safety's found. In the second place, I want you to notice another thing, not only the place of her gleaning, I want you to notice the personal nature of her gleaning. Notice Naomi's question to Ruth, where hast thou? Thou. Yeah, you. I'm speaking to you. Where hast thou gleaned today? Now, there were many reapers in the field that day alongside Ruth, but Naomi had no interest where others had gleaned. Ruth's gleaning was all that mattered to her. You know, there is a tendency within the Church of Jesus Christ that we sit in meetings and we think that the challenge of God's word is suited for someone who's sitting just in front of me, who's sitting just beside me. But God would say today, where hast thou gleaned? He's speaking to you. You see, God expects all of His children to be gleaners in the field. There's a place in God's harvest field for you to labor. There's a role for you to fill. There's a part for you to play. There's a position for you to fill in God's work. If ever God's harvest in this city is to be gathered in. Let me say this, it is not the sole responsibility of your minister to bring in the spiritual harvest. That is not his sole responsibility. You may think it is, but it is not. You are to be a fellow laborer. You are to be a co-worker in the gathering in of souls for whom Christ died. And so, Christian, away with this idleness. Away with this laziness. Away with this shirking of responsibility when it comes to the gathering in of God's harvest, the harvest that Christ sowed when He died for sin on the cross of Calvary. Down with the thought that there is no part and there is nothing that I can do to see the cause of Jesus Christ advance in this great city and in this locality. Listen, you have a mission starting this afternoon. Are there no family members, no neighbors, no work colleagues that you could not invite to hear the gospel? Or is it the case that you have such a terrible testimony in your family and among your neighbors and among your work colleagues and among your school friends that they would laugh at you when you came with the invitation? When it comes to gleaning for your soul's profit, as I've said, the Word of God is the best place for you to go. Now, it is true that benefit and profit is received from the public preaching of God's Word through those whom God has called to be ministers of the Word. And yet, your gleaning as a believer in the Word is not to be confined to what you receive on a Lord's Day morning, a Lord's Day evening, or on a prayer meeting night. Having given you a faithful translation of the Word of God in your own language, God would have you to search the Scriptures for yourself, to find handfuls of purpose for the satisfying of your soul's hunger. It is said of the Christians in Berea that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. Is that your daily habit? As a believer, you find leaning in the scriptures of truth to find food for your soul. Oh, that all of God's people would be found gleaning there. So when asked the question, where dost thou glean today? Instead of saying the Belfast Telegraph, instead of saying the newsletter, instead of saying Hello Magazine or the Ulster Tatler or 442 Magazine, that you would say, I was in the Word. I was in the Word. That's where I glean today, in the Word of God. We are to be men and women of one book. One book. One book. God's book. Notice the third thing about Ruth's gleaning, namely the persistence in her gleaning. By the time Boaz comes to the harvest fields, part of the day has already passed. I suppose that's one of the benefits of being an employer and not an employee. You can really show up at any time you desire and you want to. Well, that was Boaz. He maybe had other business to do in Bethlehem. I don't know, but he does not come at the beginning of the day. He comes as part of the day has already passed. I know that because the one who has been given the task of overseeing the ingathering of his harvest tells Boaz in verse number 7 that Ruth hath continued even from the morning until now. The word used here for morning is the Hebrew word bokar, B-O-Q-E-R, bokar. It translates to mean the dawning of the day. We would call it the break of day, sunrise. That's what the word is in the verse number 7. She's been there from first light. From first light. The narrative then goes on and in the chapter. You look down to the verse number 17 and we find there, yes, Ruth has taken time to eat a little food to sustain her, but she remains in her labors. Note the verse number 17. She remains in her labors. She gleaned in the field until even. The word is dusk. The sun has set. The sun has set. Now you think of that period of time between sunrise and sunset, you would think that after being in the field under the Middle Eastern sun for all that time, you would think that the first thing that you would want to do is to get home and to get washed and get some food and to have some rest. But that is not Ruth. Because you see, Ruth does something with what she gleans in the field. Because we go on to read in the verse number 17, she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley, 2.5 stone, 15.5 kilograms. That's how much she gleaned. She beats out with a staff which she gleans in the field, and then she winnows it to remove the chaff, the throwing of it up into the air, the causing of the wind to blow away the chaff, and then the good grain falling again upon the threshing floor. She does that before she goes home. It is work intensive. She gathers it up and she carries it home to Bethlehem and to Naomi. All of which, as I've said, would be time consuming. You know, Ruth didn't go out into the field that morning and glean a few hours and then head home complaining that the work was too hard. It's back-breaking work, this gleaning. She would have to stoop and to pick it up. She doesn't go home and complain. She doesn't say that this is too difficult a task. This is unrewarding. No, Ruth persisted in her duty. She stayed at it until the day was done. She was persistent in her gleaning. Every minute was bought up to bring in the harvest. And as I thought of Ruth's persistence from daybreak to sunset, as I thought about her persistence in the harvest field, I thought about words that we have in one of our hymns that we sing so often. Let me labor for the Master from dawn till setting sun. And then I asked myself the question, is that really my desire? I can't remember what preacher it was. Maybe it was Leonard Ravenhill who said that most Christians sing lies. You've sang that hymn. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let me labor for the Master from dawn till setting sun. Let me talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over, and my work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But is it your desire to labor from morning to setting sun? Well, we'll find out in the next number of weeks. You'll come home from work tomorrow night, and you'll be tired. Because I've been there. We have been there. We didn't go into the ministry straight out of school. We understand what it is to be involved in God's work. We understand what it is to be going out for a day's work, coming home at 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and then a gospel mission taking place. And you know what the natural response will be tomorrow night? To sit at home. To stay at home. But the harvest will not be gathered in. The harvest will not be gathered in. And God will bring you to account for this gospel mission. Mr. Patterson hasn't spoken to me about this, so don't you be thinking he has and whispered something in my ear. He hasn't. Been in the ministry nearly 4 years. I know how it works. There's labor involved in God's work. There's work involved in God's work. That's why it's called God's work. It doesn't take a genius. It involves work, and it involves work on your part. Ask yourself the question, from the moment I was born again until the day I die, is it my longing to be busy for God? You know, many have started out in the harvest field, some sphere of service, some ministry, because the work gets hard, because the reward seems so little, the field is left and the harvest is lost. You know, folks, she gathered a grain at a time. It wasn't very much what she gathered that day, was it? Just a grain at a time. But whenever she came to the end of day, there was 15.5 kilograms of grain she had gathered. Because it's always little by little. One by one, God brings the souls in. But whenever we come to life's day, it's close. And we'll look back from eternity. If we have given our lives to God and to the service of God, then we will see that it was all worth it. It was all worth it. How we need to redeem the time. Maybe you're out of the field. It's time to get in the field again. Be not weary in well-doing. Let us glean in God's harvest field until life's sun sets and we go out to meet the King, and may on that day we be found bringing in our sheaves. We need to learn from Ruth's persistence. How true it is. If you need something done, ask a woman. We often hear that. I often hear it. But here's a woman showing us the way, man. She's showing us the way. Let's be steadfast and movable. One final thing, and it is brief. Ruth's work wasn't in vain. For I want you to notice a final thing with respect to Ruth's gleaning, namely the prize of her gleaning. What was the reward of Ruth's gleaning? Well, little did Ruth realize the day she went out into glean into the fields of Boaz that she would gather enough food in that single day for herself and for her mother-in-law that would last them at least 10 days. At least 10 days. I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss it. I know we're beyond our time. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. The law only required Boaz to leave the corners of the field unreaped. But grace went beyond the mere demands of the law. Handfuls of corn were dropped on purpose for Ruth to gather in. Boaz went beyond the demands of the law, because Boaz was working here in grace. God's grace is always extravagant in its display, because it goes further than what we ever deserve. Hell was what I deserved. Hell is what you deserve. But God in grace lifts us and seats us with Christ in heavenly places. Hannah said, he lifts the poor out of the dunghill. What an amazing thought. In that thought we have extraction. He lifts us out of the dunghill of our sin. That's what God does. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. No, because grace is always extravagant in its display. Because Hannah went on to say that he has set me among princes to inherit the throne of glory. That's exaltation. Extraction. Exaltation. Grace. Marvelous grace. Little did Ruth realize the day she went out to glean the fields of Boaz that amid the sheaves she would find a husband. She wasn't going out that day to find a husband. That was not her intention. But that husband was going to make her to become the joint owner of those broad acres in which she had been gleaning. Do your duty, Christian. And God will take care of every other need. Having come to find grace in God's sight, we become part of his bride. He becomes our husband. Not only that, we become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Little did Ruth realize the day she went out to glean in the fields of Moab that she, a destitute foreigner, would become an ancestor of the Messiah. You see, Ruth's going to marry this knight in shining armor, we would say. She's going to marry Boaz, and they're going to have a son. And they call that son Obed. Obed will grow up, meet a girl. He's going to marry, and his wife's going to have a son, and they're going to call him Jesse. Jesse is going to grow up, meet a girl, marry, have a child to that girl, and they're going to call that boy David. It was from David's family, David's line, that the Messiah would be born. Matthew 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That was her reward, the prize of her gleaning in that field that day. What reward came the way of Ruth as she went about her duties? Mr. Spurgeon said, God is very good to those who trust him and often surprises them with unlooked for blessings. The unseemingly trivial events of today or tomorrow may involve consequences of highest importance. Ruth found that to be true. She found herself faithful to the task in hand. And God blessed her with blessings that she did not even look for. You know, as we faithfully serve God in God's harvest field, such will be our lot. We'll find him blessing us in a way that we never looked for. So I close with the question, where hast thou gleaned today? May we all be found leaning in the place where we come into contact with our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we labor from morning to night until the day he comes or until he calls. I trust that you're in the harvest field. I trust you've met the kinsman redeemer. I trust that you're saved. And you're ready for heaven and for home. If not, then come to Christ without delay. May the Lord be pleased to bless the public preaching of his precious word. Thank you.